This podcast was recorded in the first few weeks of 2013. If you're hearing this, I presume you didn't meet your doom in a worldwide astronomical apocalypse on December 21st. But how are you coping with the disappointment and disorientation you must be feeling? I hope you've recovered from the shock of seeing the catastrophic prophecy fail. And I hope that this unambiguous empirical test of a factual prediction was a learning experience for you. Although I'm afraid that for those of you who seriously believe the prophecy of doom, it probably wasn't. And you're not alone. When a deeply held belief fails in an obvious way, the person holding that belief is forced into a state of psychological conflict. They believe a certain factual claim about the world, but they also recognize that that belief has failed the test of reality. If the failure is undeniable, this conflict cannot be relieved in a rational way without discarding the false belief. For skeptics and scientists, falsification of theories or hypotheses by empirical test is a road to progress for precisely that reason. It forces the investigator to abandon falsehood and search for a set of beliefs that conforms better to reality. But for those who are so deeply committed to their beliefs that they cannot allow themselves to submit to empirical falsification, the psychological tension cannot be relieved. Dr. Leon Festinger was an influential psychologist who identified the irrational thought processes typical of committed believers whose expectations had failed. He proposed that such people would be in a state of cognitive dissonance, consciously holding two or more beliefs that were not in harmony with each other, producing a state of discomfort for the believer. He theorized that they would attempt to relieve this discomfort through very specific behaviors aimed at making their false beliefs seem true and acceptable, including rationalizing the failure, recasting the beliefs in new terms, and recruiting new members to reinforce the community of believers after the original prediction had failed. Festinger had a remarkable opportunity to test his theory against predictions received from the stars of worldwide apocalypse slated for December 21st. December 21st, 1954, that is, and the apocalypse was not a catastrophe prophesied by the Mayan calendar, as so many people feared just a few months ago, but an earthquake and flood reportedly predicted by inhabitants of distant planets who were coming to Earth in UFOs to save a selected few believers from the prophesied disaster. Not long after Festinger had published his theory on cognitive dissonance, he became aware of a small flying saucer cult in Chicago. A group of people had collected around a woman who claimed to receive messages by ESP from aliens on flying saucers, who told her that the world would be destroyed on December 21, 1954, but that she and her circle of believers would be rescued by these aliens and taken to distant planets on their UFOs. As her communications with the aliens continued, she also declared that these astronauts were in fact famous figures from the Bible, that the particular alien contacting her was the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, who was now living in space and flying around on UFOs, and that she herself was the reincarnation of the Virgin Mary. The aliens required various acts of commitment on the part of the believers, many of whom gave themselves over completely to the cult and its teachings. When Festinger heard about the group, he attempted to infiltrate it with a couple of fellow researchers and several students by claiming to be interested in UFOs themselves or to have had alien communications. Today, this would be frowned on as a breach of research ethics. Festinger and his team stayed with the group almost daily, sometimes around the clock, for a period of months, and recorded their behavior as the deadline for catastrophe came and went without incident. He reported his findings in a now classic book, When Prophecy Fails. The details are fascinating, but too lengthy to recount here. Festinger's predictions for the behavior of the cult members after their beliefs failed were borne out to a remarkable degree. Their prophecy had obviously not come true, and many of the group members were shaken or confused, but only a few of the least committed gave up their beliefs in the Christian UFO aliens. The leader rationalized their failure by claiming the aliens had told her that because of her faith and efforts, God had decided not to destroy the world, and therefore there had been no reason for the UFOs to come rescue them. Thus, she explained the failure of predictions for both the catastrophe and the UFO visitations while simultaneously elevating her group's beliefs. The fact that they had not come true was not evidence that they were false, but that they were of literally world-saving importance. Most significantly, the group began very actively recruiting new members after their predictions had failed, something they had actually discouraged previously but which Festinger had predicted, as if having more people sharing their unconfirmed beliefs would lessen the disappointment they were experiencing. This incident served as dramatic confirmatory evidence for Festinger's theory of cognitive dissonance, which today is a recognized part of mainstream psychology, and it echoes the recent panic over the so-called Mayan apocalypse, coincidentally predicted for the same day of the year 58 years later. It's not clear how many people took the Mayan apocalypse seriously, but there have been many failed apocalyptic predictions, often religiously inspired, since Festinger's theory was published. In 1997, a doomsday cult called Heaven's Gate, based on Christianity, UFO mythology, and Star Trek, announced that the world was going to be destroyed when the comet Hale-Bopp approached Earth, but that a UFO accompanying the comet would take their members away to a higher plane of existence. 38 members committed ritualistic suicide when the comet arrived to free their souls to join the UFO, which had never been detected by any earthly observer. After they were dead, the Earth was not destroyed. Of the three surviving members of the cult, however, two signaled their continued commitment to its beliefs by conducting similar ritual suicides within the next year, while the last, who had voluntarily agreed not to die in order to continue the cult's teachings, did just that for years after every fellow member had died in commitment to a belief that never came true. In this way, they increased their efforts to uphold the cult's beliefs after its predictions had failed, as Festinger described. Another Christian doomsday cult was led by Harold Camping, who predicted the end of the world in 1994 based on numerical calculations from Bible verses. When his prediction failed, he announced that he had recalculated the date and determined the world would in fact end in May 2011, and increased his efforts to proselytize his beliefs, thus falling in line with Leon Festinger's predictions of the recasting of failed prophecies and the seeking of new followers to confirm discredited beliefs. When the prophecy failed for the second time, Camping once again recast his prophecy for a new date in October of 2011, again conforming to Festinger's theory. When the prophecy failed for the third time, most of his followers left him, and Camping partly recanted his beliefs, saying, quote, "We humbly acknowledge we were wrong about the timing," end quote. Note, though, that he does not renounce doomsday prophesying itself, he just admits he had the wrong date. Even at the end, Camping was able to only partially come to terms with his obvious and repeated failures. What's startling about these cases, and there are many more, is the stubbornness with which these believers cling to beliefs so odd it's hard to understand how they arrived at them in the first place, let alone retained them after they had failed an empirical test. Festinger's theory of cognitive dissonance offers an interesting explanation, but we also have to realize that not everybody falls into the pattern he describes. It is possible to learn from your mistakes and correct your beliefs in light of empirical evidence. As skeptics, we aspire to that behavior and we know it can be done. But not all do it. At the time of the Harold Camping debacle in 2011, many Christians from other groups announced that they would try to comfort Camping's disillusioned followers and restore their faith. I blogged at that time that those who had turned away from Camping, or from faith entirely, were in fact in a better position than those like Camping who attempted to rationalize his failed predictions, or even than mainstream Christians who do in fact believe in an eventual earthly apocalypse but simply haven't set a date on it. The Camping apostates had accomplished the one great thing so many doomsday cult members never achieve. They had learned from their failures. So many others, however, cling to ungrounded, ill-formed and rationalized, even empirically disproven beliefs, even to the point of death when their beliefs have already been shown to have failed. It's impossible to say what leads some people to struggle persistently with cognitive dissonance in the face of overwhelming evidence for the truth, but that process, first observed almost 60 years ago in a small cult of UFO fantasists, arises again and again on so many occasions when belief confronts reality, and it is a large part of the reason why false and disproven beliefs are so hard to dislodge. As skeptics, we're always tempted to think that what people need to adjust their beliefs to reality is simply better information, more facts, or a methodological scientific investigation. In a way, that belief may be a form of cognitive dissonance on the part of skeptics. Too often, it's been proven that simply providing facts to true believers isn't enough to dislodge their false beliefs. We have to face up to that and revise our beliefs accordingly.